This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On most Fridays, we talk with Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff and review a few of the big news stories that occurred throughout the Inland Empire over the past week. I say most Fridays, except for the last few weeks when Cassie was on a jury. Her case is done and settled, and Cassie is back. Good morning and hello.
Good morning, Ken. It's good to be back.
Lots has happened in the world of news, Cassie, but let's just talk about one news item where a lot has happened, and it's kind of close to home for you. The company that owns the Press Enterprise has been sold. And over the course of the last week, it was kind of a roller coaster. We thought first one company was going to buy, and then the Department of Justice steps in, and then we find out another company's going to. You want to explain everything that has happened when it comes to the sale of the Press Enterprise?
Well, sure. It was an auction out of bankruptcy. Freedom Communications, which owned the Orange County Register and the Press Enterprise, declared bankruptcy and was sold at auction. The winning bidder was Tribune, which owns the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, San Diego Union Tribune, and a lot of other papers, and was selected as the winner at $56 million for both papers. And the Justice Department said, we have a concern about antitrust, about a monopoly of newspapers in Southern California. And they challenged it in court and won a temporary injunction halting the sale. And over the past weekend, Freedom decided that a Justice Department challenge was going to delay the sale. Tribune withdrew its bid, and Freedom selected Digital First Media, the owner of the San Bernardino Sun, the Redlands Daily Facts, the Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and several newspapers in Los Angeles County.
So apparently it's all settled. We know that the company that's going to acquire the Press Enterprise is Digital First. It is one of the biggest publishing companies in the country. How is coverage in the Inland Empire going to change or be the same with this sale?
Well, generally newspapers share among their own chains, so I would expect to see a lot more cross-pollination, if you will, between the newspapers. I hope that means kind of breaking down that invisible wall between San Bernardino County and Riverside County, and more coverage from the perspective of the inland region.
So this could mean, with the San Bernardino paper, the Redlands paper, the Riverside paper, that there could be many more reporters working on the Inland Empire, as opposed to competing, a bunch of smaller groups of reporters competing with one another. That's what you're saying could happen now.
Certainly, we haven't heard the strategy of the company yet, but from my experience and observation, I think news groups do share stories. We've certainly seen stories in the San Bernardino paper from the Northridge paper and the San Gabriel Valley papers. So I would expect that Riverside stories will begin to appear in the San Bernardino paper and vice versa.
Let's go on and talk about other news. There was another big deal between our two major state universities. UC Riverside and Cal State San Bernardino have announced that the two universities are going to collaborate on educational attainment for the inland region.
And it's a big issue in both counties. They have much lower rates of college going and college graduation than other parts of the country. And so the aim of this collaboration is to bring that up. The program has received a $5 million grant. And they're now recruiting for an executive director, if you know anybody with that kind of background. They've got five goals, basically, and they kind of start with a cradle-to-career approach. This has been done on sort of a smaller, more local basis, I know, in San Bernardino County. And the idea is to coordinate programs in the two counties to increase college attendance and graduation rates, and also keep graduates in the region by creating good jobs. And it's kind of a big, ambitious goal, but I think that's a real key to the program. They also want to reduce the number of college freshmen who need remedial courses by ensuring that when they graduate from high school, that they have those skills. They want to raise the number of bachelor's degrees in the Inland Empire by 15%. They've set that goal. Increase college graduation rates by 10%. And also create more internships and help students develop business relationships while they're in school so that when they graduate, they already have a head start.
This seems like it. You're right. It could be a pretty big deal. You described it when we talked about the last issue as breaking down that wall. So here's a wall that's being broken down between these two university systems here in our Inland Empire to deal with a really important issue.
That's right. And Dr. Morales, the head of Cal State, said this program is just in the infancy stage, and $5 million is not going to go a long way. So they're going to have to be hunting for more grants to extend this program and keep it going.
Okay. And finally, there was a proposal for a textile plant near March Airfield that, shall we say, has run into a snag.
That's right, Ken. You know, there are areas where you can't build near a runway. There's a 3,000-foot zone at either end of the runway that's a no-build zone. But this plant is proposed for a 5,000-foot area that's called an accident potential zone. And the commander of March Air Reserve Base said he's concerned that if there is a manufacturing plant there, that it could make the base vulnerable to cutbacks or closures if the federal authorities think that it's become too dangerous to operate there as an air reserve base.
What could happen here? What's next?
Well, the proposal is just getting started. The chairman of the Joint Powers Authority that operates March said that the developer started the process, talked to city staff in Paris, but he's not come forward with plans or anything. So when that does come into the planning stages, they'll be looking very carefully at whether this could obstruct the operations of the airbase. However, legally, there's no way to stop construction on private land in this zone.
So I guess maybe next we'll be hearing about some kind of negotiation. We'll keep our eye on that. Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, so nice to have you back.
Thank you, Ken.